welcome to the God of Rob podcast. I'm Ben. As always, I'm joined by fellow Pokemon enthusiast Connie to bring you some of the latest and greatest Pokemon news and a few laughs along the way. This week, we're discussing DNA's rebrand to Pokemon Card D Studio and what they might be developing. We're also breaking down five Kalos mysteries to be solved in Pokemon Legends Z to A. As always, you can jump to a topic using the timestamps in the description below. Welcome, Connor. How are we?
I'm doing all right, mate. Thank you very much. How are you doing?
I'm not too bad. A little bit tired, but I'm going to power through. Okay, I'm excited to be, you know, talking about Pokemon stuff with you. And the fact that we scrambled for content because we are officially in a dead zone for Pokemon news of the mainline games and most of the spin-offs, to be quite honest with you. I mean, if it's Pokemon TCG news you're after, well, we don't really cover that, but you are feasting right now. There's plenty of news on the website. But for everything else, not a lot going on. And yet, I think we've managed to find a topic that I'm really excited to talk about.
Well, you say we found it. It was given to us by an audience member, really.
It was, but I was going to lead on to that in a bit.
No, see, spoil plug. It. Spoil everything. I was reading an article, or I lie. I was watching a video that referenced an article talking about how spoilers actually can improve your viewing experience. So it was talking specifically about the idea of, you know, next time on this show that you're watching and shows you what's coming up, or when it does previously on, and then you kind of know from what it's highlighted from the previous what this episode is going to be about, because it will reference that one guy from six episodes ago that you had completely forgotten about, but now you know they're going to be important. So when they show up, you're like, all right, there they are. Yeah, I knew they were coming. You would think that actually kind of ruins your experience of it, because everybody's always like, no, spoilers, la, 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 la. But apparently, studies show otherwise. Studies show that if you have...
Really?
So they did it. They had a book, and a bunch of people read the book just normally. They had the book. They read it front to back. And then other people had the book, and the front page told them exactly what was going to happen. And those people enjoyed their experience with it more. Tended to.
Interesting. Okay.
So, yeah. Spoilers. There you go.
Do you think that's potentially because there is media, books, games, films where I'm sure you've had it before where they're like, no, just wait till episode 7, it gets really good.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people, if they don't have that kind of spoiler, then they maybe might not stick it through. But if they're told up front, by the way, episode 7, this happens, it's massive. Suddenly, for some people, they might go, "Yeah, I'm all in based on that point." And I think it depends on the person, because for some people, I'd imagine they enjoy the spoilers because they like to, because then they've kind of, I know where the end is, and now I can figure out the plot points as we go along, and that like it gives them that high of problem solving, or whatever they enjoy about like putting pieces together.
So the way I see it is, if spoilers were that big of an issue, we'd never rewatch anything. We'd never repeat media, because we'd never have that first experience again if spoilers were all that mattered. So there must be some value in rewatching or replaying or rereading some form of media. And I think, so I asked this years and years ago of somebody and said, like, why are games inherently more replayable than maybe films are rewatchable? And it's like, well, games are, it's, you are experiencing it each time. You are putting input into it. But they brought up the point that, you know, especially with a mystery, you talk about a mystery movie. The first time you're sat there, you're trying to work it out. You're there on the detective side going, okay, I'm kind of picking up on that clue. I'm kind of picking on that clue. And then you get the big reveal at the end and your mind is blown. The second time, you know where it's going. You know what the twist is. You know the answer. Now you're picking up on all the clues you missed the first time round. And it's a whole different experience rewatching it. So there are, I don't think spoilers are the be all and end all, but I do think there's something to be said for that initial firsthand blind experience.
I agree. I'm the kind of person that I do enjoy replaying games or rewatching films, and rereading books is a new thing for me. And it's only this one particular author, and if my wife ever listens to this, she'd be sick of his name because I'm constantly talking about him. But it's Brandon Sanderson, who does a lot of the Cosmere novels. And the books are fantastic, really enjoy them. But they have such rereadability because there are so many things that when you read it back, knowing where the trilogy or the five book saga goes, that you're like, oh, he literally told us in the first three chapters where this story was going, and yet we didn't pick up on it, because why would you? Why would you pick up on it? You just wouldn't, because you're going into this fresh, you're going into this blind, you don't know what's coming. And it really does reward you for a second read through, and I'm sure it's the same for video games and movies, where you can experience it in a new way. Like you were touching on about, like the murder mystery, like films. I think it works for most things. It's like Marvel films. Like now that you know where the end, where it all ends in phase three, you get a bit more enjoyability out of some of the poorer films in phases one, two, and three, because you can go, okay, right, I see that this is part of a bigger puzzle, and therefore you can appreciate it a lot more.
I love the fact that you said it all ends in phase three, because you're right, it's done. We finished, right? Marvel's done. I think everybody can agree. It had its time. End war happened. Maybe we'll give like the Spider-Man follow-ups, but that's it. We're done.
we are done talking about Marvel, because this is a Pokemon podcast. Let us jump into the first topic of this week, as we are talking about the Pokemon Company and DNA. I've got written down here forming a new subsidiary. That was the headline. It's a rebrand. So DNA, one of the biggest mobile gaming companies, apparently. You can tell I've lifted this from somewhere. Also known for Pokemon Masters EX, has made an announcement that they are now formally called... Well, sorry, their subsidiary, formerly DNA Digital Production, is now called Pokemon Card D Studio. So the studio will focus on the development and support for the upcoming mobile title Pokemon trading card game Pocket, which was announced Pokemon Day this year, wasn't it, in February?
Yes, it was.
Yes, which is set to launch this year. Now, the other big thing about this is the investment ratio. So of this new subsidiary, DNA owns 66% of the new subsidiary, and the Pokemon Company makes up the remaining 33.4%. Because, of course, the Pokemon Company, whenever it comes to anything Pokemon, it's not 100% owned. There is some variation of a fraction to decide who owns this.
Well, I mean, they have to own some level of it for them to be allowed to call themselves Pokemon.
Is that how it works?
So the Pokemon Company owns the Pokemon trademark. So for any company to register themselves as Pokemon, in this case, Pokemon Card D Studio, you would assume the Pokemon Company, A, has to sign off on it, and if they're going to sign off on it, they're going to want to cut.
So does this to you then feel like it is a long... The Pokemon Company have long-term ambitions with this game.
Oh, yes, very much so. I could see this. So they relaunched Live. I say relaunched because they just took away online and gave us Live. I don't think it really hit what they were hoping for. It didn't really crack into the arena market the same way as something like Duel Links did, or MTG Arena, or Hearthstone way back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is their next attempt at going, no, let's go hard. Let's do yep. something a bit different, a bit simpler, a bit more flashy, and we're going to make that mobile game money.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. Really does, because I have seen nothing about this being on anything but mobile, which makes me think that is a deliberate decision, so it isn't, because people can still then enjoy live on their desktop or on mobile if they choose to, but it is almost that separation of, no, you're still going to have your toy and be able to play with it over here, but there's this new shiny thing down here that you can play with. And because of that, I've got a feeling that is why they're okay with this game, in all likelihood, having microtransactions. Yeah. You know, we think about when they've said previously that you get to open two free packs a day. There's a reason they included that, because chances are it is, if you want more, then you've got to, you know, cough up some kind of in-game currency or some kind of cooldown. So it feels like this is just a way that they can kind of go, have the cake and eat it of, we want something to compete with the well-known trading card games that are out there that allows us to also monetize it heavily. Because, you know, for as much as people might want to have valid criticisms of TCG Live, the one thing that we have to give them lots of credit for is there are no microtransactions in it. It is a case of, you know, if you buy a pack in real life, you then get a free, or it's included in the cost, you know, edition that allows you to redeem those cards.
Okay, so I just had a quick look, because I was saying, like, this is their Duel Links. Is probably the closest thing I would relate this to, because Duel Links isn't Master Rules Yu-Gi-Oh! For those of you who don't know, in Yu-Gi-Oh! You have what are called the Master Rules. That's the actual game and how it works, and it changes up every couple of years, and the meta changes and all that kind of stuff. Doesn't matter. Duel Links played differently. It had a bunch of powers involved. Okay. I think it was a smaller board. It was quicker games. That's kind of what this is aiming to be. And just so you know, the kind of money they were talking about in the first half of 2021, Duel Links grossed $110 million.
No!
In the first half of 2021. Wow. Which made it the top grossing card battler mobile game during the period. 2018. Ooh, hang on. The game's known revenue during 2016, 2018 to 2019, and the first half of 2021 adds up to $284 million. So, yep, realistically, Yu-Gi-Oh is big. Yu-Gi-Oh is huge as a TCG. It is one of the biggest TCGs out there. It ain't Pokemon big.
No. No. But Yu-Gi-Oh is also almost that niche in the anime market, or whatever you want to classify that of, you know, Pokemon is something that everyone knows about. Their parents know about, their children know about, you know, they know somebody. Yu-Gi-Oh is a bit more niche. I do know people that, you know, you'd mention Yu-Gi-Oh and they go, what's that? Pokemon. Those same people are like, oh yeah, I know Pokemon. Might not be interesting, but they know it. Mm. Like, this is going to probably be, you know, one of the top downloaded games on most app stores once it releases. It's not surprising, especially because it'll likely do what they do for Pokemon Masters EX. So Pokemon Masters EX, for those of you who don't know, is a Pokemon team game where you have three Pokemon battling a mixture of other opponents. For the most part, it is single player. However, it's built in the traditional microtransaction model of, when you load up that game and you start playing, it throws so much free stuff at you and so much in-game currency that it keeps you on board for a while. And then I think almost that, you know, that sunk cost fallacy kicks in of, well, I've got all these characters and I played all this time. I don't now want to stop playing it. And it keeps you in that loop of, oh yeah, every month, yeah, I've got a little bit of cash from payday. I'll buy some new, you know, whatever the in-game currency is. This is probably what they're aiming towards with this. Can't blame them for doing it. It's a company; it's got to make money. But it'll be interesting to see how heavy in microtransactions this game is.
Yeah, sorry, I'm just looking up stats and things now. So we've got Pokemon Masters EX, which is obviously DNA's other game for... Okay, let's go for the same time period. So the first half of 2021 made 22.75 million.
And what was you, Gabe? 110. Comparison?
110 versus 22.75.
Oh, wow.
So that's...
Wait. So Yu-Gi-Oh! Made five times more?
Yes, in the same half-year period.
Okay, okay. But they are different styles of games,
though.
They
are. Have to remember that. Now, for context as well, I believe in 2021, Pokemon Go, in that first half of a year, earned like 435 million.
Yeah.
So, but that's okay. When Pokemon Go was really, really good to their players. They have dropped off a fair bit since then. But, yeah, I think that's kind of, you know, who do you know who plays EX? I mean, you do, occasionally.
No, not anymore. Not anymore.
But. So they're still making money?
And the thing with EX is I was an endgame player, so I'd gotten to the point where all the content in the game I'd beaten, I'd unlocked all or most of the top tier sync pairs other than those that were on rotation and you couldn't get because they hadn't been in rotation for a couple of months or years. And like it's at that point there is like not that I spent, I think I probably spent about £5 in total on that game. But if you were like me and you were at that end point, there wasn't really anything to spend money on because, you know, the new sync pairs that were released, you'd look at and go, is this going to be better than what I've got? No, probably not. So I'm not even going to bother spending my in-game currency that you used to get for free. And you just wait until a sync pair came up that you're like, oh, no, I want this one. Whereas, you know, Pokemon Go is a bit different because you're constantly chasing that meta of new Pokemon being released. You know, you want to make sure you've got enough egg incubators to get the latest, you know, Pokemon, or make sure you've got enough raid passes to continually go after raid Pokemon to make sure you've got the best stats for it. So there is a difference there as well, because you know, Pokemon Masters EX didn't really have an online multiplayer element, whereas Pokemon Masters has, you know, a big version of that at tournaments as well.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just really, really interested now as to, because you got to think. So, what they made maybe 900 million on Scarlet and Violet. If it sold 24 million units, call that £40 a unit, give or take. Like I know that's retail though, so they definitely didn't sell it at that. So, even so, you're talking 400, 500 million low bar on Scarlet and Violet. That's their mainline game. They make more than that on Pokemon Go.
Ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's actually ridiculous.
And they make 1/10 of that every year on Masters EX.
Yeah.
Which is such a niche. That's like hardcore Pokemon fan game. Whereas this is TCG. This is, hey, do you remember the Pokemon trading card game? Here's an easy way to get back into it. Everybody remembers the Pokemon trading card game. And now it's shiny. And now it's on your phone and it's shiny and it's got really nice graphics and it's got movable pictures and all this kind of stuff. I reckon this is going to do phenomenally well. I really do.
Oh, I do. I really do think it'll hit the charts really quickly, really high up, because it will capture people with that initial look at all this free stuff. People are like, oh, this is amazing. It will earn them a shed load of money and it'll stick around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as someone that plays, or actually I'm not playing it at the moment, the TCG Live, I enjoy it, but I must admit sometimes the games feel A, too slow, and B, it feels like within the first turn or two, you have either won or lost because, you know, it's just look at the draw and what cards you get and who you match with. So I am actually hoping that this, you know, maybe fixes that slightly of it's the games, even though they're quicker, they're not decided as quickly, if that makes sense.
Yeah, they're a little bit more accessible. They're a little bit either slower paced or have more of a swing. Because that's your two ways of going about it. Either we slow the game right down, which really nobody wants, because we live in an instant gratification society, whether we like it or not. TikTok has ruined us and everything before that. Let's not blame TikTok, sorry. But we grew up with Vine.
Vine's fault.
Vine! 8-second videos, let's go! but, yeah, I can't see them slowing the game down, but having it more swingy, having like powers or special cards that you can throw down that completely change the game, I can see them adding that in. I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to it.
Me too. I am. I'm just hoping the microtransaction doesn't ruin it. But saying that, DNA, DNA, that makes Pokemon Masters EX, does throw a lot of adverts at you, but a lot of the time you can just minimize them, quit them out, and you can play Pokemon Masters EX and enjoy it without having to spend a lot of cash. In fact, you can do it spending a minimal amount of cash. So I'm actually feeling like, you know, maybe this is in safe hands, but we will see. Because, you know, trading card games, typically, they feel a little bit more, you've got to keep up with the meta.
It is the original loot box economy.
Yeah. It's definitely going to be interesting. Connor, shall we move on to the next topic?
Let's do it.
Let us do it. So, if you've got a comment or question, you can get in touch with us and we might discuss it, although in all likelihood we will discuss it. That is something that Tony has done a lot. But his last question really caught us. We absolutely love it. So Tony has asked, what are some scrapped plot lines or details from the games that you wish had stayed and had been expanded upon? Now, we managed to find a list of quite a few abandoned plot lines in Pokemon games, but there was 5 from Kalos. So we thought, with Pokemon Legends Z to A, say on the horizon within the next year, hopefully, it would be quite good to capture some of the abandoned plot lines to see and have a discussion as to whether or not they are going to be returning in Pokemon Legends Z to A. And I guess whether or not we want them to be expanded upon. The first one that we're starting with is the Kalos power plant. So for those of you that don't know, the Kalos power plant is something that can be seen in Kalos when you are exploring. So it's just north of Lumiar City. So when you are there, there are multiple areas in that area you can go to, and the camera pans. And the camera pans and you see a power plant in the distance. So they've coded this power plant into the game as a visual. You then have a mystery door that you cannot access. Like, there is no key item in the game. There is no person to battle. There is nothing you can do in order to access the power plant. And fans have been rightly speculating for a very, very long time as to what exactly this power plant is, was supposed to be. Was it supposed to be something that was touched on in the abandoned sequel Pokemon Z, like a few other things? And will we get to see it again in Pokemon Legends Z to A? Connor,
so
I've rambled for a lot.
What
do you think?
Just to clarify, because there's somebody sitting at home going, you can go in the power plant. Yes, you can go in the power plant in one section. I think Team Flare take it over at one point.
Yes, you can.
But there are multiple doors to the power plant. Mm-hmm. You can only enter through one of them even after you have the key. Even after you gain access to the power plant, only one of the doors actually opens. Where do the other doors go? Do they go to other sections of the power plant? Why? What will be in there? At the time, I remember speculating that, you know, event Pokemon, but we haven't seen an actual event Pokemon have an event from a long time until really Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl kind of did it, didn't they? Because they had the Shaman event and things.
They did, yes.
So that's the closest we got, but in X and Y, we were just given Magearna. We were just given Zero Aura. Big sad.
Yeah.
So I could have quite easily seen something to do with Zero Aura in there. Because it's Plasma Fists and the big electric cat. I could have seen that working.
Yes.
Will we see it again in Z2A? Yes, almost certainly. If we are building Lumio City,
yes,
Lumio City is going to need power. And I can quite easily see this being a case of, okay, go in and clear out all the electric Pokemon that this thing has attracted. Or maybe you're helping to dig out the area where these tunnels are that lead to the power plant. The thing is, it's very hard to speculate as to how it will show up in Z2A, because we really don't know what Z2A is going to be yet. But
we don't.
I sincerely hope that we will see the power plant again, because it's so odd. You're running around in the desert trying not to get stopped by a bunch of Dugtrio. And you just walk up to these doors and it's like, ah, the power plant off in the distance. Ah, this door seems to be locked. Why is it there?
Yeah. Why even include it?
You only need one. You only need one.
Yeah. Which makes me think, yes, it is an abandoned plotline, but I think it was just a case of development time. Lightly ran out of development time and had to move on. And it was one of the things that was scrapped, unfortunately. Now, I think, yes, we will get this as well, mainly because if we are going through the renovation of Lumio City, it's going to need some kind of power, the form of electricity. From what we saw of the announcement trailer, it had that very blue outline kind of futuristic vibe going for it. And I know that could be just blueprint, but like, I think that if anywhere in Lumio City is going to be the first place to have electricity, it's going to be Lumio City. The size of it is the capital city of the Kalos region. So it is going to be the most modern. I also think that, could this potentially tie into the story? I mean, we've got Zygarde, who is obviously going to play a part in Pokemon Legends Z2A. Now, Zygarde, yes, isn't it? Ground and Dragon Pokemon, yes. There's too many Z Pokemon. I got dead confused then. But Zygarde is to do with the environment, right?
Yes, it is the protector of the Earth, effectively.
So that to me implies that we might. Sorry, what I'm trying to hint at here is the fact that, you know, we've got modernization of the world and electricity, but where does electricity come from? Does it come from burning fossil fuels? If so, would Zygarde not want to be involved in that potential conflict?
So if we're going to speculate on what Z2A is going to be about, I think Legends, one of the new implementations from Legends that I'd like to see them carry over is the Alpha Pokemon and the sort of raid bosses. Raid boss is the wrong word. What were they? They were the Totem Pokemon. Not Totem Pokemon. What were they called in Legends?
Can't remember.
They
had a name. What were they?
They were the descendants of the Pokemon used by the hero.
Something like that, yeah.
Legends, Arceus.
Cleavor and Arcanine
boss
and what the
Pokemon. What were they called?
I can't remember. Wasn't Totem was Gen 7.
No, it had to be Lord of the Tundra.
No, they weren't deities.
They were the Pokemon Lords. They were the Pokemon Nobles, the noble Pokemon.
Okay.
I don't feel so bad about forgetting that. Right.
No, agreed.
Okay. I like that. I like the boss fight element, and I'd like to see them bring that forward. And what I think I've mentioned on a previous podcast I'd like to see them do is Zygarde basically go, no, you cannot expand your city into my environment. How dare you? I'm going to build up and beef up a bunch of Pokemon to take down your attempts. So it'd be really cool to have maybe the power plant be a focus for one of these Pokemon.
Oh, okay, yes.
So maybe you send either a strong electric type to feed off the energy that the power plant is trying to absorb, or you go the other way about it, and you just send a ground type Pokemon, because the area is surrounded by big desert. You send a big, powerful ground-type Pokemon to ransack it, basically. You have a Totem Dugtrio, but Colossian version shouldn't be Dugtrio. We've had too many Dugtrios. But a Colossian version of something that digs underground and completely wipes out the power plant unless you stop it.
I what? Give me... If we're going to expand, if we're going to build on Pokemon Legends, how do we improve Pokemon Legends? How do we give a new challenge? And we need ground types for that area. Let's have our first, you know, the battles. We have to throw the bombs and roll around.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have it where we're actually fighting two Pokemon, and it's Kalos versions of Nidoking and Nidoqueen.
Yo, I love that.
Yeah?
I love that. See, I thought you were about to say, if you were going to expand on it, have them like diving in and out of the ground, you know, get a little bit like Shadow of the Colossus on this.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I love the idea of fighting two Pokemon. They probably because won't do Pokemon diving in and out of the ground and having to chase them around, unfortunately.
What I like about that, though, is the fact that I can just imagine the cutscene of you rock up and Nidoking or Nidoqueen drops down. Like, okay, right, I got this. And then... Doom, then the next one drops down or appears behind you from under the ground, and you're like, ah, okay, right, this is 2-on-1. Okay, that's fine. Let's go for this. And you know, because it can't be hardcore like a Souls game, you could have it where, you know, if you inflict enough damage on one of them, it'll retreat for a period of time. So you're kind of trying to get into this flow of, you know, weakening one so it's off, so then you can concentrate on the other one, and then the flow of the battle is basically just trying to prevent both of them from getting back in and double teaming you. So I quite like the idea of that as well.
Idea of that a lot. So, yeah. Yes, we'd love to see the power plant expanded on, maybe. And it'd be kind of funny if they did it where it's a case of, we need to make sure that at least one of the tunnels is left standing. So there's a bunch of different tunnels initially. And in the timeline where we played X and Y, all of the rest of them got destroyed during that fight, and you only had that one left. That's why you could only enter one of them, but all the rest of them were already built, so we never got rid of them.
I like that. I like that, because it adds to the continuity as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So, in all likelihood, I think what would be quite good is if we go through these five, and then we say, what are the likelihood that we are getting this as, you know, in this case, a location?
50-50. I think the power plant is already a location within X and Y that has some story significance. And I think a power plant for building a city is extreme story significance, especially if your story is about your impact on the environment that building a city comes with. I feel like we should see it, but without further understanding of what the game actually is, it's very difficult to say, so I'm going to give it 50-50.
Okay, I'm going to go high. I'm going to give it an 80% chance to appear.
Wow.
In some version, even if it is a very early version of the Kalos power plant. So it isn't what we see. It's the almost, oh yeah, we've started building it, and then something occurs to kind of spur your character to go and explore and potentially help with the development of it, because that would then tie in with the development of Lumio City.
Although the difficulty is that it's very... we've been told it's only Lumio City.
Well, we have, but this is close enough to the outskirts.
I think
they can stretch that. It's just north of Lumio City, isn't it?
Okay. All right.
You're looking at the map?
I am. Okay, no, it is closer than the next town over. It's halfway across our route. I'll take it.
Yeah, what you could argue. No, it's on the it's on the outskirts of Lumiose City, and that's how they can kind of, yeah, get around it. But I think, I know they've said it'll only take place in Lumiose City. I think there will be, I still think we'll be visiting other parts of Kalos, even if it is just for story progression, if not exploration. And I'll explain why in a bit.
Yep.
So let's move on to the next one, the Lumiose train station message. So in Pokemon X and Y, there's a message hidden behind a sign in Lumiose City. It reads, "I'm going to go for help. Wait in the usual place." And if you talk to the young NPC standing near the sign, he says it should be someplace right around here. Right? So this is something that I didn't know about until we started looking this up. Did you know about this?
I'd never come across this one, to be fair.
No. What do you think this is? Do you think this is an abandoned plot line or just a little Easter egg?
Oh, I think it's just something they initially threw in there for fun. One of those very much a case of, and we'll come on to this a lot more with one of the future topics, to just throw a mystery in there just to show that the world's mysterious and there's more going on than just you, which is fine. I love a little bit of world building like that. But I think something like this is kind of creepy to just leave in there. We'd love to see this expanded on. We'd love to see an answer as to what's going on, who's gone missing, where did they go, what did they need to find, what do they need help with? Is the little boy involved? Is he looking for the same thing? Questions. Many, many questions.
Definitely. I think this is the developers just being a little bit naughty and putting in something to waste players' time, but in a humorous way. Because there are two key things there that make me think this. The first is, I'm going for help, wait in the usual place. That implies that there is something hidden or someone hidden in that area. And the second thing is talking to the NPC says, it should be someplace right around here, right? That to me implies almost a throwback to, remember Gen 1 where you're on the SSN and you're checking all the bins just in case, you know, there's an item in one of them. That's what this feels like, almost a, oh, there's something in this. I'm going to click on every tree, every notice board, every pillar. I'm going to click on every single square. And ultimately, what's the reward? Well, there isn't one, because sometimes in life, folks, you know, you do things and you get nothing for it. This feels like the developer's just being a little bit cheeky.
The thing is, there's a weird amount of train stuff going on in Kalos. Like, you get to go to that town where nothing happens.
It's just that train that connects the two.
Yeah, you get a train to nowhere. Cool. Thanks.
Yeah.
But if we're talking about Z2A, if we're talking about a Legends game, we're talking about trains. What do Legends games and trains have in common?
Go on. What am I missing?
What's one of the characters who randomly showed up from the future with no reason for being there?
Okay.
That's it. That's as far as that connection goes.
Okay. Right. Okay.
I didn't have more than that.
Okay. Right.
But maybe because I haven't played Legends Z2A yet, maybe we'll see. The other brother, what have you got? You got Ingo in Legends Arceus. What's his brother called? Emmett?
I think. Emmett, yes.
So maybe Emmett was like, hey, stay here. I'll go look for help. Wait in the usual place. And the usual place got him sucked up and sent. And he's like, oh no, what happened? I better go do something about this, and jumps on a different train and ends up in a different past. That's how theories work. Just say a couple of things that are slightly related to each other and pretend it's an idea.
And ignore all evidence that contradicts it completely. But I think with this one, actually, I don't know what I think with this one. Do I think? No, I did have a point. Again, this is again in Lumiose City. It's in the train station. So there is a very real possibility that this could be built on in some way. I don't think it'll be story related. I think that it, in all likelihood, you know, as part of the, oh, we're developing Lumiere City, oh, we need a train station, you'll go in there. And I think they'll just reference this. I think there'll be an NPC who says, oh yeah, I like to hide things around here, or yeah, I had a friend around here, but I can't seem to find it. I think there'll be a little nod to it.
Okay.
It's almost a full circle of if they reference one another.
Side tangent, I'm bringing it back to my thing. So
okay.
We don't see Emmett, but we see someone mm-hmm. who looks like Ingo and Emmett. Is it their ancestor? Or is it Ingo's descendant? Time travel is weird and I want answers.
You're never going to get answers, unfortunately.
Is Ingo his own great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather? Actually, not that many greats because it's not that long ago. But could it happen?
Could. Yeah, it could. Will it happen? Get to go back to the first one we said, do we think this will happen?
I don't think so. I don't think they're going to reference this at all. I honestly could see this being a developer putting a thing in there and it being a throwaway at the time, and nobody has thought more about it since.
Agreed. Yeah, I think that, you know, some of the, you know, there are other video games that have done this where the developers will hide a message somewhere in the game, because they just know, oh, the likelihood of somebody finding it, or if they do find it, it's a little bit of a, you know, like when you were a kid and you used to like write, you know, Ben was here on something. Like, this is basically the gaming equivalent of that, of, oh yeah, I'm going to just put my stamp on this game. Like, yeah, my little thing that I added to this. And that's what this feels like.
Yeah, it's a weird Easter egg.
Yes, yes. That's exactly what it is. So yeah, let's move on to the next one, which I think out of the five of these is probably the biggest one, is Eternal Flower Floet. Now, if on the odd chance you have no idea what this is, because I only found out about this a couple of years ago playing a randomized version of X and Y, which allowed this Pokemon to be catchable, because up until, it's still never been released, has it?
Nope.
It's in the game code of X and Y, but outside of that, you cannot legally obtain this Pokemon.
I mean,
so
even in X and Y, you can't legally obtain it.
No, you can't. Like, it's just one of those rare things where it's coded into the game, and yet there's nothing you can do.
Not only is it coded into the game, it has its own signature move.
Light of Ruin, is that the one it has? Yeah. Like, has any Pokemon had Light of Ruin since?
No, it's a signature move of a Pokemon that was never released.
That's bizarre in itself, isn't it?
So theoretically, we maybe were supposed to get it as a event Pokemon at some point.
Potentially.
But we never did. Maybe it was supposed to be explored more in Pokemon Z, but it never came out. But again, we didn't have full-form Zygarde in X and Y. We didn't get that till Sun and Moon, which means it's more likely that it was an event rather than... Yeah, because they weren't... All the event Pokemon were in the game at the time. That's why we knew about Zeraora and Magearna so early. It's an odd one.
It is an odd one, because not only as it's... So for those that don't know, this is AZ's Floette that returns to him in the very last cutscene of when you complete the game. And it has a completely unique color palette compared to the other Floettes, so you can't get that. It has different base stats. I don't know if you knew this. It doesn't have a Floette's normal base stats. It is basically on par with Florgus. And like you say, it also has its own unique moves. So that's three unique things about this Pokemon.
And I assume it can't evolve either.
I don't think it can, you know. I'm pretty sure when I've had it before, it can't evolve. But don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure it can't. I know I've had it in Radical Red, and it couldn't evolve in that, but Radical Red isn't. That's different. I can see Connor is furiously trying to find out if
Eternal Floet has higher stats, cannot evolve or breed, and learns Light of Ruin at level 50. There you go.
There you go. There you go. So, do we think that this is in the game? Because surely if this is in Pokemon Legends Z2A, then AZ has to be in it too, right? Because they are so linked, intrinsically linked. But then saying that, like, Floet isn't reunited with AZ until the very end of X and Y. This takes place, and as far as I'm aware, they haven't had contact for 3,000 years, right?
No. It basically went, you killed a whole bunch of Pokemon. Bye. And left him for 3,000 yeah. years. Yes, I think AZ will be in Z2A. I think it would be a massive mistake not to have him at least wandering around and be an NPC at some point. Whether he will be drastically tied into the story of the game is yet to be seen. I could actually, and I think I'd prefer him to be more of a side character than an integral part of the story, because we've already kind of explored AZ's story. But we know he's out there. Much in the same way as we know AZ's Floette is out there and has been alive for 3,000 years. And it, in a similar way to in Legends Arceus, so we have Kogita, who has been theoretically alive for generations, has a legendary Pokemon that she basically goes, yeah, you can have it for now. At some point, it will leave you because this thing is eternal and you are not, and it will go about its doing its thing. You are its keeper for the time being. And I think that's the kind of relationship we'll have with AZ's Floet of, yes, you can catch it. Yes, you can add it to the Pokedex. It'll have its own slot within the Pokedex, probably. And you'll be able to use it in battle and things like that. On the understanding of, it's yours for now. At some point, your character will either release it or will die and it will be free.
I agree with you. I don't... Because if they want... I don't think you can have AZ without Floet or Floet without AZ to... Because you're not telling a full story then, because they are so intrinsically linked. But what they've got to, what the storytellers have got to play around with is that typical thing of, well, we know where this ends, so we can't actually have them meet up. There's got to be a way that you kind of make it so that you know their stories and how they fit together, but they can't ever actually meet. And I think that the way you potentially do that is, like you say, AZ isn't a main character. He is a side story that you can optionally do to find out a bit more about AZ, but it isn't relevant to the story. And I think the way that you introduce Floet is almost you hear all of AZ's story, but then AZ vanishes from the story. He goes wandering off. You then can have the capture the Floet or use the Floet without it impacting on the story, because by that point AZ's gone. There's no way to get to AZ, so there isn't any of that kind of, you know, you're going and talking to him and he's like, that's
mine. I can see AZ's Floet being, you know, like when you go and capture all the mythical Pokemon at the end of the game and you do all the little mini quests. I can see it being one of those. And as you say, part of that quest will be a case of, oh, the giant in the hills has heard stories of a Pokemon or tells stories of a Pokemon, and maybe you've seen him once or twice throughout the game. Okay, you know who that is. You go speak to him. He talks about a Floet and gets sad and leaves, and then you find Floet. Or it reveals itself to you, who is pure-hearted like its master used to be.
Yeah. You know what I think you could potentially do in terms of tying this into the story of... we've got, you know, we have got Kalos, and in Kalos we have Xerneas and we have Yveltal. One is about life, one is about death. If you want to talk about Yveltal being this kind of, okay, it's there to end all life, well, what other Pokemon in existence has seen so much death in Pokemon outside of Floette? Would Floette not want to rise up and battle this Pokemon? And it has the type advantage. Mm-hmm. It has that Light of Ruin attack. That is that how you tie that into this story of, okay, yeah, we are, you know, building this region. We have unearthed something, you know, this cocoon, this Yveltal that is known to come around every, you know, couple of hundred years. And, okay, we need to stop it. And Floette is the one that supports you with doing that as a, you know, as a battle in the game. And then following that, maybe it vanishes and it goes off on its own journey. And maybe you don't actually catch it as part of the story. Maybe it is just a gift Pokemon that you are given so that they can keep the continuity.
Yeah.
Because then technically you've never caught it, because the that Floette is off somewhere. And the Floette you get from the gift is just a, you know, from a different multiverse or however they want to do it, or don't even explain it as they have done many times with gift Pokemon.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to catch the real Azee's Floette, I think that's, rather than it being a multiversal, I mean, it's all multiversal, realistically. Like, we can have Azee and Floette meet 150 years, 200 years early and go, multiverse, bro. This is not X and Y storyline.
True. Yeah.
But
you could do.
I think that the BDSP storyline is the same world as Legends Arceus. They are linked, and it's very specifically the BDSP one, because there's the Manaphy connection. There's a story within the Canalave library relating to Manaphy that you have to read in order to go and find it within Arceus. So we know those two are linked. So we're obviously not expecting an X and Y remake anytime soon. So either the X and Y we have is the Legends Arceus, is the Legends Z2A timeline, or we will get an X and Y remake at some point that will be the Legends Z2A timeline. Or it'll be all on its own. And remember, guys, we care more about this than the Pokemon Company do. They have told us over and over again, there is no continuous timeline. We don't care. Stop it.
Yes.
But I like to think there are some people at that company who care.
Who care. Yeah, agree.
These things matter.
Agreed. So let's talk about the chances of seeing Floette. So let's separate from the AZ, I think, and just think about Floette for now. Do we think we are getting Floette in Legends Z? This version of Floette.
This version of Floette. I'm glad you clarified that, because I was going to say, yeah, we'll 100% see Floette.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I think it's a 100% chance. I think we will definitely see this version of Floette. I think it has been kicking around. They have had the assets for so long now. It would be a waste not to.
Yeah, I completely agree. It feels like if there are two Pokemon that they want to give justice to, it's Zygarde and this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like that surely that has to be who they're bringing in some way in the story. Tell you what, I'm all for it. I love the design of this red, white, and blue. Oh. Mm. Oh, it looks so good. I want it. I've never wanted anything more in my life. So let's move on to the next one, which is the Kalos Ghost Girl. And I know a little bit about this, but not a lot. So I'm just going to read out the snippet that I've got here, and then you can fill in if there's any blanks that I've missed. So in Lumiose City's Fighting Dojo, if you go to the second floor, you'll get a small cutscene of one of the Hex Maniac character models. So, you know, black long hair with a black dress, who appears behind you saying, "No, you're not the one," before she literally floats away. That's it. That's it.
Fighting
what
Dojo?
What more do we know about this? Fighting Dojo, this says, but I don't think that's right, is it? Isn't
no,
it
I thought no. I thought it was the
it's the professor's,
it's the Game Freak building,
lab,
isn't it?
Is it? Well, regardless, it's not there is no Fighting Dojo. Since when's there been a? Hold on, are we about to find out something?
Oh, I don't think there's a Fighting Dojo.
I don't think there is. Fighting Dojo.
This is a creepy pasta. Excuse us while we internet.
Yeah. The strategy guide claims there's a fighting dojo set up in one of the unmarked buildings. But everyone's saying, no, it's wrong. Even the strategy guide was wrong then? What? There are multiple people saying about a fighting dojo, apparently. What?
Really weird. Don't remember it at all. And I can't... I don't know what the building
City
she's
map
in.
Fighting dojo. Creepy Ghost Girl in Lumio City. I was in Lumio City and went into the building in the north section with multiple floors. It's the same one, the Kanto Karate Dojo guy on the third floor. Oh, so is that why the Saints are fighting dojo? Okay, yeah. It looks like there's a fighting dojo person in there and people have just started calling it the...
Yeah, I don't think it's... Yeah, it's not a fighting dojo. It's like a business building. Yeah, because I'm pretty sure... I don't know if it's the same people with the Game Freak people in there. No, that might be Black and White. Anyway, doesn't matter. None of this matters. The point is, there is a building within Lumio City. If you go to the third floor, you walk out of the elevator, there is a ghost girl who comes through behind you, floats along, turns to you and goes, no, you're not the one, and leaves. The same ghost girl, seemingly, also appears in Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, saying the exact same thing. Floats along, says, no, you're not the one, and leaves. So this ghost girl exists, or multiple ghost girls exist, unknown at this point, in the mega timeline, which we know Legend Z2A is within a mega timeline.
Yes.
Will we see either when she becomes a ghost, because the Legends games ain't afraid to go there.
No, you're right. They're not.
We had the we had the Spiritomb quest where the girl was one of the spirits all along.
Yeah. Didn't we have a quest where a kid goes off with a Drifloon?
Yes, very possible. I think so. Yeah. So perhaps, and this is again rolling back to Legends Arceus and BDSP being in the same timeline. There is a theory that goes along the lines of your character in BDSP a couple of years after becoming champion is the person who goes back in time in Legends Arceus. That's why you were chosen, is because you are the champion and you are so powerful. That's why you look the same and things like that.
Yeah.
Could it possibly be a similar... I don't know if we're going to do time travel. It's as yet unknown. We might come on to how it could be time travel in another section. But could it be a case of the girl comes out, goes, no, you're not the one, but you are actually the one? If it's back in time, though, and you're older, would she not have found you already? And...
But if she is a ghost, it might be that she's kind of on a loop. So yes, she's met the one, but that doesn't stop her from then trying to continually chase the one. That is her purpose.
No, it's you.
Oh,
you are there when she dies.
Yes,
you are the one who couldn't save her, and then she comes out. It's like, it's you. No, wait, you're not the one, because you're not yet, because you haven't aged up and gone back yet.
Okay.
I don't know.
more time travel shenanigans?
More time travel shenanigans. The question is, will we see this girl die, or will she be already a ghost haunting a building as it's being built?
I think the latter. I think it will be a little side quest of, oh, there's a haunt, there's something haunting the house, and we get a cutscene of the ghost appearing who just says the exact same thing of, no, you're not the one. Again, this is in Lumio City.
Yep.
Few of these are in Lumio City, so there's a high chance that we are getting... Sorry, there's not a high chance. There is a chance that we are getting some kind of Easter egg, nod, or continuation of this one.
Yeah, this one feels a little bit more notorious to me than the train station one, which I'd never, mm-hmm. ever heard of before. I knew about the Ghost Girl years ago. The Ghost Girl was one of those things that I heard of as soon as it happened, as soon as one person experienced it. I could see this coming back. I could see there at least being a nod to this.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah, I think it'll be a nod and potentially a side quest. And you know, I think that's all it needs to be. I think just that, like, you know, it just shows that some of the developers have love for the games that came before and like, oh, you know, that was cute. That was a nice little Easter egg. Let's continue that.
See, this is the thing as well. I love the idea that the Legends format, because it has hundreds of side quests or 100 side quests for you to do, and they're all interacting with people and having these mini stories, that's where you can flesh these things out and you can have these little nods.
Yeah. And I think it works as well. Mm. I can see myself, you know, when this game comes out and doing it, and you know, you talk to somebody, oh, saw some weird things in that building, and it pops up like, you know, quest 94 or whatever, an eerie ghost or something. I'm like, oh, this is it. This is what I've been waiting for. And I've gone from, you know, a little bit of Pokemon lore that I'd heard about but wasn't that fussed about to suddenly, I'm interested in this. I want to know more.
Mm.
Because it just works with that format as a nice little side quest. Like you say. Yeah, I'm on board with this. I think we'll get something and I'm looking forward to it.
What's the next one?
So the next one is something that isn't in Lumiose City, okay? And it's the Anastar Sundial. So for those that don't know what this is, I think it's Anastar City, there is a massive pink crystal embedded in the ocean that you can take a little bit of a bridge to get up to. I don't know what other lore is available about this.
The Anastar City Sundial has a moon dial somewhere. We what? Have
somewhere.
Yeah,
we don't know.
There is a moon dial somewhere.
Wow. Okay.
We think it was a hint towards sun and moon to come.
Okay, yeah.
We had a sundial and a moon dial. There was also strong implications. I remember Berkey Potopi had a video ages ago about the fact that, you know, if you look beyond the sundial in Anastar City, there's a bunch of islands out there. If you look on the map, doesn't make any sense that there'd be islands out there.
Okay, yeah.
So,
right.
Are we peering through the sundial's space warpingness to what the moon dial is seeing on the other side?
Okay.
But unfortunately, okay. We never saw a moon dial in Alola. Which was a big shame.
Mm.
But there's also the question is, does the sundial have something to do with Hoopa? A Pokemon known for space manipulation and pulling Pokemon from other dimensions and things like that. Questions.
Mm.
None of them have answers.
There are none of them do. This feels like the biggest wild card out of the five. It feels like the one where, because they have explained literally nothing about it, it leaves them with so much room to go, okay, what are we doing with this big thing? And you know, there's a few things here. One is that yes, it is in Anastar City at the time of X and Y. That's not to say it's still there in Pokemon Legends Z to A. There is a possibility that maybe this gets moved. And then therefore you can still have it in Lumiose City. And the other thing is, like I mentioned earlier on, even though I think that the entirety of the game will set place in Lumiose City, like they have said, I still think there's opportunity for cutscenes to play out in other areas. I just think the gameplay elements will only be in Lumiose City and the surrounding areas. The other thing that we have in Kalos, or was introduced in Kalos, is Mega Evolutions. When I look at this, I can't help but think of Diancie, who was, I think, the only Gen 6 Pokemon that got a Mega Evolution.
Yes, it was there.
Yeah, is there a link there, potentially?
The Sundial is also the place where you upgrade the Mega Ring.
Oh, okay. Wait, you can upgrade the Mega Ring since what? What does that mean?
Apparently, you can upgrade the Mega Ring in the postgame.
What? Okay, I didn't know that. That's completely new to me.
I'm going
to
look it up.
Yeah, I want to know what this means. Is this like unlimited Mega Evolutions? No, wait. How would that work?
After the player has defeated their rival in Cloud City once, Professor Sycamore will upgrade the player's Mega Ring at the Anastar Sundial by having the player touch the Sundial. Once upgraded, the player can then find hidden Mega Stones around Kalos from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Okay, so it has a this Sundial has a link to Mega Evolution.
Yep.
Is this what causes Mega Evolution? Hold on. The Mega Ring. What's the Mega Ring composed of? Has it got some kind of gem or stone in it?
The Mega Ring has a stone in it, and that stone coincides with the Mega Stone. And we know both. Theoretically, both rained down from space when a meteor probably got struck by the Great Weapon.
Oh, okay.
I think that's the running theory, because I know there was people trying to connect the meteor that rained down the mega rings and stuff like that, the mega stones, was the same meteor that was carrying Deoxys, because we know Deoxys was a DNA carried on a meteor that then got irradiated by a laser.
Right.
I don't think they're quite connected, but... Very cool idea.
Mega
Deoxys, I'm ready to see it.
Oh, yes. The first... it wouldn't be the first with multiple Megas, because we've got Mewtwo and Charizard.
Mm-hmm.
And Charizard will be getting and yet another Mega Evolution. Any other theories about how we could see this play into the story of Legends of ZZA?
Okay, so I'm just going to read this real quick. So, every day, when the game time reaches 8 p.m., the rings of the sundial start to spin one by one as the sun shines through the hole in the crystal. Falling sparkles from the sky also make it look like it's snowing both around the sundial and in the town itself. The sparkles stop after 10 minutes, and the rings themselves stop spinning one by one just after 9 p.m. In the post-game, you defeat your opponent. And then they upgrade the Mega Ring. He tells the player to touch Sundial with the Mega Ring. After doing so, he reveals that the Mega Ring will now resonate with Mega Stones that are underground. He explains that those Mega Stones can only be found while the Sundial is active between 8 and 9 p.m. So, what is it? Where did it come from? Why did it exist? What do, fam? It's definitely 100% connected to Mega Evolution. I think it would be a mistake not to include something about the Sundial, even if we've got to have a go elsewhere. You got to leave the city for this one. Or as you said, maybe it was originally in Lumiose City and was later taken to Anastar City. I kind of feel like, given the size of it,
it does kind of
look like it collided with the land and it's just stuck there. But maybe it was forged. I mean, it is a sundial.
Perhaps.
So maybe it was actually forged. Maybe. And again, you're supposed to see sparkles through the rings. So this is it. You've got gold spinning rings, Hoopa. You've got the big pink crystal is Diancie.
Mm-hmm.
And it functioning as some form of clock or functioning with the time, clockwork, Magearna. It has elements of all the X and Y mythicals. which, yeah. if this is anything like Legends, we should be able to catch. We should be able to catch all the X and Y mythicals.
Yeah.
So, this has to be included. And we have to know more about it. I'm sure there was a mention of a moon dial. I'm going to double check this.
Okay.
City moon dial? Come on.
Got to be something, right?
Yeah, there's a reference to a moon dial. Yes, I'm over 18. What? Why is that necessary?
What? What are you?
I am on Reddit, okay? the lake is the ocean.
Okay.
Control F, moon. The existence of sundial and moondial seems suspicious to me, but all right. It doesn't matter. I'm pretty sure there's someone who does actually reference the fact that, you know.
There's a moondial.
It has a counterpart.
Yes.
Mature content. It's Pokemon. There's no mature content here. Well, that's not necessarily true. Just because it's Pokemon doesn't mean there's no mature content. Anywho, moving on very swiftly. Yeah, it was a huge plot point that was never really explored any further. We know it has a connection to Mega Evolution. We know it has to have a connection to Diancie. I think it's got a connection to Hoopa and Magearna. Give me more. Give it to me.
It ticks all the boxes. Is this the one out of the five that you want the most? Or is it the train one?
Oh, it's this one. It's 100% this one.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotta be. As much as I want to, you know more about Floette, I think that you don't need that. Like anything about the Floette is just additional content. Whereas, you know, the other, and the power plant is a power plant, like, whatever. This is the one that has the mystery behind it. This is the one that has so many unanswered questions to answers that apparently have been set up, but we just don't know them yet. This is the one out of the five that I want the most. I want to know more.
Yeah. It feels... The rest of them, we can chalk up to Easter eggs. This has too much going on and too many connections to Pokemon that did come out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the fact that,
We didn't get any more on Diancie. I was really, really hoping for something. Give me some answers about Diancie. Why does Diancie exist? Why does a Carabink suddenly evolve into Diancie? And without actually evolving, I mean, it just metamorphosized into a Diancie. And then can Mega Evolve? Why is it the only Gen 6 Pokemon that can Mega Evolve?
It has so many unresolved mysteries about it that I think has to be in Legends ZA. And I think for me, it's the fact that it's not, well, I know you mentioned about it being forged, but like, this thing does not look man-made.
No.
So, like, where'd it come from? What's it doing? Why is it here? I want to find out more. Connor, I think that brings us to the end of the podcast. Is there anything else you want to touch on before we depart?
No, I think that about covers it. I am once again looking forward to Legends Z2A, which is going to be annoying every time we talk about it, because I'm like, oh yeah, I'm really hyped for Oh, it's still a year away. Oh.
Yeah.
I'm glad it is.
Yes.
Doesn't mean I'm
but I
not.
I want it now.
I want it now. Yeah.
I mean, we say it's a year out. We actually don't know when it's going to be released. We just know it's 2025, right?
True.
That's all we know. We could still be a year and a half out, you know. If they stick with a November release date, again, a little bit annoyed by it, but it's probably for the best.
We literally asked for it.
Yeah. Yeah, we can't be mad that they're going, okay, yeah, the fans want something a little bit more.
And it's fine. We'll have a new card game to play all the way up until then. So
an addictive card game. That's the show for this week. If you've gone this far, you're just a top dollar, aren't you? Before you go, we'd really appreciate it if you could leave a review on the podcast platform of your choice. And if you're watching on YouTube, then please leave a like and subscribe if you're not already subscribed. If you've got a comment or question, you can reach us by leaving a comment on our podcast on YouTube, by emailing goldenrodpod@gmail.com, by leaving it on our Discord channel, or by using the hashtag goldenrodpod on Twitter. Connor, where can we find you?
You can find me on my YouTube channel at Captain Fidget, or on Twitter at Cap Fidget.
I'm Ben. You can find me as Professor Hoenn Gaming on YouTube and Professor Hoenn on Twitter. We'll be back next Friday for another week of Pokemon podcast content.
See ya!